Welcome to the first episode of the Dutch Crafters Amish Furniture Podcast.
Woo-hoo!
We are your hosts. As you can tell, we're very excited. I'm Milka Rivera, and I've worked for Dutch Crafters for 4 years.
And I'm Beth Rice, and I've been here with Dutch Crafters for 5 years.
That's a long time.
Yes. Time flies when you're having fun, though.
It's true. That means that this podcast is going to go very quickly today. So on this limited series podcast, we're going to be sharing the expertise we've gained from working at Dutch Crafters by answering some of the most frequently asked questions we receive about Amish furniture.
Yes. And while we do work for Dutch Crafters, our goal is to educate, entertain, and help no matter where you choose to shop or what your level of interest is in Amish furniture.
In this episode, we're going to be counting down 5 misconceptions we often hear about Amish furniture, from number 5 that all shops are only family operated to, well, we can't give away number 1 just yet. You're just going to have to wait. But we have a lot to cover. So thank you for joining us, and let's jump in.
Let's do it.
Misconception number 5. Amish shops are all single family businesses. That is not true. They are all family owned businesses. However, their employees may include more than just family members. I think that was probably a misconception that I had before I started working at Dutch Crafters. A lot of the shops got started because they wanted to, you know, the founder of the business, typically the father figure in the family, he, you know, had woodworking skills and then wanted to be able to provide for the family and like start a family business where the kids could all get involved and know that they would have jobs in the future as well. And some of these shops have stayed small, you know, and that's their prerogative, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But some of them, you know, a lot of Amish are very business minded. So they have, as their businesses have continued to grow, they have added on more people. They've had to add on more people. And they do tend to stick to Amish and Mennonite workers. But yeah, that is one of those misconceptions.
And I do feel it's important to mention just how we've met some of these shop owners by mentioning just a tiny bit of, you know, our history, if that's okay to interject.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely great.
We do get this question sometimes too. You know, we Dutch Crafters, we're located here in Florida. And we're located here in Florida because the CEO, Jim Miller, and his wife, Lindsay Miller, live here in Florida. Our furniture, Amish furniture, it's all made up in Amish country, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Indiana. And over the course of several years, Jim and Lindsay traveled Amish country and made, you know, got to know these shop owners. And when Lindsay came up with the idea of selling Amish furniture online, they just strengthened those connections and started with a few wood shops. And now we're at, I think, over 150 wood shops that supply furniture for Dutch Crafters.
Yes.
So those shop owners come and visit us here in Florida, and we go up there on trips and visit their wood shops to see how our furniture is made and what they're doing. So I thought it was important to mention just how we come to learn of some of these families. For example, the Bontragers, their shop makes some of our fine solid wood dining tables, and they have 52 employees. Let's see, I remember when I got to go on one of the trips up to Ohio, and we visited, where were we? We were in Berlin, in Millersburg, Ohio, and we went into one shop that had over 30 employees, so it is normal for them to hire outside the family.
I mean, it also, you know, keeps it within their communities. I mean, they're all about community too, so a lot of their religious and their family values, they're keeping within the shops too, even when, you know, they outgrow like the family. It's not just family that they have anymore. And I think you'll see that a lot of times too, when, you know, you walk into the shops and above the doorway, there'll be like a quote from the Bible or, you know, quotes just related to putting in like a hard day's work and why it's so important and how it builds character and all that kind of stuff. So
right. Right. Their woodworking is an expression of their faith in a sense.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Very much so. Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to number four of our misconceptions. All right. Misconception number four, Amish furniture never uses nails, screws, or plywood. This is a common misconception, but it is incorrect. You will sometimes find nails, screws, or plywood in Amish furniture.
I can tell you the Amish are always looking to build the most sound piece of furniture. When you're shopping Amish furniture, likely you're going to it for the quality as one of the top aspects that you're looking for. They use a lot of old woodworking techniques. One of them, the mortise and tenon joint, mm-hmm. which is sought after to create the strongest joint, the strongest connection. That's the kind of support in your furniture that's going to last. We're talking decades, not just a couple of years. Mm-hmm. With nails, screws, or plywood, they do use them. Mm-hmm. You're not getting poor quality furniture if there are nails or screws or plywood used.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that. And the things that they create, they take so much pride in that they want it to last for you as well. And I mean, they're stamping their name a lot of times on that furniture. So, you know, they're not gonna put their name on something that they are not proud of. So those extra added steps, the glue and the screws, they're using those to make sure, as you said, that piece lasts a long time. It's almost like just a double check. Right. Our producer, Jake, who is behind the scenes, he told us a story of how he was in one of the shops and, you know, they saw one of the woodworkers run a screw through a chair's corner cross brace into the joint in the corner. And the woodworker mentioned that it didn't need it, but there's a chance that it'll help the durability of it down the road. So, you know, again, it's just speaking to that. It goes back to the pride of the piece, the quality of the piece. They want it to last a long time for you because, I mean, they're all about that heirloom quality. So it's right. going to last a long time.
And I think it's important to mention the plywood. I've seen some questions come in even on our site, you know, about people who are leery of plywood being used in solid wood furniture. The mm-hmm. fact is the plywood is used and it's used for a very good reason. Wood's a natural material. It has mm-hmm. water in it. It's going to move. It's going to respond to its environment. It's going to absorb moisture from the air when it's humid and expand, and it's going to lose it when it's cold and it's going to contract.
Yeah.
It's going to move. And the reason that plywood is used in particularly in case pieces like the back of a dresser or hutch or that type of thing is to allow the solid wood to move and avoid cracking. And I think it's important for people to know when you're talking about plywood used in Amish furniture, it will handle that movement that's coming from the rest of the piece. Often in the Amish furniture, the plywood is made of the same species wood that mm-hmm. the entire piece is made of. It's not particle board. It's not an inferior layer by yeah. any means. So I just thought that's important to bring up. We don't want people to, you know, think Amish furniture is not at that caliber. If plywood is used, it's got to be there, like you mentioned, for the longevity of the piece. It's a sign of good craftsmanship.
Yeah. And this is probably something that's been learned over time as well, you know, and especially we sell online, as you said at the beginning of the podcast, we're based out of Sarasota, Florida. We're working with wood shops in Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Indiana, and we're shipping from those areas to different parts of the United States. So a piece that is built in, you know, let's say Indiana, that is then shipped down to Florida, you have to think about, you know, it being in the back of the truck and all of the different climates that it is potentially going through, and especially in Florida where we're so humid here. Right. And then you have the adverse of that where, let's say, a piece is going to Nevada and it's very dry, you know, so that plywood is helping during that process too. And again, it's probably been like a learning process for them what to include in the furniture, how to build it for that longevity and the integrity of the piece.
Yes, well said. And we do have a blog covering plywood and its use in Amish furniture.
Yes, as well. Who wrote that blog post?
I don't know.
I believe it was you.
And there's also one on humidity control. No matter where you get your solid wood furniture from, you're making such a huge investment. Humidity control is so important. So there's a couple of blogs there on our site. I'm just saying.
Yes, definitely check those out. Let's take a quick break. So before we get into the last three misconceptions, from tips and tricks to behind the scenes stories and advice about Amish furniture, you'll get all that and more right here on the Amish Furniture Podcast.
So subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcasts and don't miss an episode. And if you have any questions about Amish furniture, about today's topic, or you'd like to share your idea for future episode topics, we would love to hear from you. Just email us at podcast@dutchcrafters.com. Now back to the episode. Misconception number three, the Amish never use electricity. This is not true. They almost all use electricity in their shops. And this normally comes from a generator to power their machinery within the shop. They generally don't use electricity in their personal lives for leisure. I know when we visited Amish country, when we would go to the wood shops, they would often take us out to their central power source. Not their central power sauce, but the source. And this would be where the generators were, or the main generator was, to power the shop. Mm-hmm. Right. And the telephone, often their phone is out in a little, almost like its own little phone booth.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I think on one of those trips to Amish country, one of the photos that I saw was like a row of, you know, almost like telephone booth looking things, or it's like they'll have built a building and it's like little separate rooms and there's like a phone booth in there.
Right.
You know, the rules for the electricity as well as the, you know, telephone, it does vary across the Amish communities. So maybe the ones that have the phone booths outside, you know, where they're, you know, they only go and check the phone like once a day. That's a regulation, right, from, you know, that the local bishop or their community rules.
That's something to note too. That's important about Amish furniture, wherever you're purchasing it from or shopping for it, that, you know, this is one, I wouldn't call it a barrier, but it's one challenge of communicating with an Amish wood shop. Mm-hmm. So when you've ordered your furniture and, you know, it's being built, we want to answer all your questions, or whoever you're working with, you know, is trying to answer questions. But keep in mind that we could be calling this little phone booth out in the middle of beautiful Amish country with rolling hills and lovely fields, and the message may sit there for, you know, yeah. hours, but we are on it and we are trying to communicate, and they do get back to us, but it is different from, you know, our high tech constant, you know, surge of phone calls and such. So, it's something yeah. that goes along with the whole process of building wood furniture.
I actually have a little bit of a story with that. Sometimes they'll also use their neighbors, like their non-Amish neighbors will use their phones. So I remember one time I was calling about like a living room furniture piece, and this woman picks up the phone and she's like, "Oh no, they're our neighbors. You know, we just answer the phone for them." And I was like, "Oh, okay." But I was like, this person must be getting so many phone calls every single day. I just, I just couldn't imagine. But
that's
but yeah. So I mean, you know, they find workarounds and ways to, you know, incorporate technology so that they can run their businesses, but at the same time keeping with, you know, their local traditions and
yes
and rules.
Absolutely.
All right. So moving on to number two.
Misconception number two. You won't find power tools in an Amish wood shop. This is not true. You will find power tools and machinery in an Amish wood shop, but it is not there to hinder. It's there to help. It's there to make more precise cuts. It's there to put out the finest product. It's not a shortcut. I know when I did get to visit Amish country, you know, I was surprised myself at the machinery in an Amish wood shop. Mm-hmm. And I know when people are looking for solid wood furniture, there's a number of them who might step back a little if they think, oh, well, a machine, you know, that's not handcrafted. That's not, you know, putting your hands on every piece. I assure you, the woodworkers have their hands on every piece of craftsmanship. The machines are there to enhance, like we were talking about with the nails and screws and the screws and screws. The machines are there to help make more precise cuts, more, you know, even the most exact cuts. It's all about putting out the best piece.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, your furniture is still being individually produced and finished. It's, you know, not mass produced. It's not sitting in a warehouse. It's not pre-made. You know, so that goes along with that. And they also use pneumatic sanders and other pneumatic tools, which I had to look up what that meant. But it is a type of power tool, but it's driven by compressed air. And again, you know, that's where the, you know, generators that they have the shops are coming into play.
When we were there, we saw, you know, a lot of tools that they use, smaller tools, not power tools, jigs for cutting out patterns and angles. There were machines for cutting out things like dovetail joints for drawers. But again, it's all making it very precise and perfect. They had machines for gluing, for the clamping and drying process. There's a lot to see in an Amish wood shop. It's quite an experience.
You know, and so going back to that about how, you know, each piece is like individually produced and finished, that takes us into, you know, how customizable Amish furniture is. So, you know, as an example with us, that photo that you see on the website or the product that you see in a store that is Amish made is going to be far from, you know, the only way that that piece of furniture can look. You know, there may be some shops that it's like they just sell, they buy specific pieces from the Amish and sell those. But again, that piece was essentially custom made, like it was built. It's just that one piece, you know, it's not like number one of 200 or whatever.
Right.
So, you know, the furniture a lot of times can be built to your specifications. I think one of the coolest things that I've seen that we've done is, I think it was a gun cabinet that was turned into a guitar case as an example. So,
right. That was a cool piece.
That is really cool.
The Amish, they know that customer expectations are very high for their product. They know people are looking for the highest level quality. When they come to visit us, we often hear them saying, you know, what can we do to make it better? What can we, you know, improve upon. They are always focused and studying what the customer wants. And like you said, there's the world of custom furniture. It's, you know, it's different from the big box store in so many ways. It's just basically being able to build your dream furniture.
Yeah, yeah. And talking about building your dream furniture, that actually takes us into our number one misconception. So drum roll, please. I know you've been waiting for this moment forever. It is that Amish furniture is all one style, and typically people picture like primitive or country style, very traditional, like mission style or shaker style furniture. And that is a huge misconception.
It is. Don't say such a thing, anyone. That's so true. It's not one style whatsoever. A lot of people have that idea that it's old fashioned. I'm trying to remember who was working down in our showroom that shared this story with me, that they had a woman come into the store who was, I don't know, I think maybe in her 40s or so, they were estimating. And the husband was staying in the car outside. He would not come in. And the wife said it was because her husband said, oh, Amish furniture, oh no, that old-fashioned stuff, I'm not going in there. And he wouldn't even get out of the car. And she was bringing him to the store to try and show him even more that it is not just old-fashioned. A lot of people have that idea. Yeah, that beautiful country style or old-fashioned look, you know, I get it.
Yeah.
But no, that's another thing the Amish woodworkers are very, very aware of. They really have their finger on the pulse of of the latest styles, and they are constantly developing new styles and features for their furniture. There are so many styles of Amish furniture to be found. Mission, Shaker, country, traditional, yes, but also Queen Anne, contemporary, mid-century, modern, industrial, rustic. The Amish embrace a wide variety of solid wood furniture styles.
They really do. And I assume that misconception comes from just, you know, the way that the Amish try to live a very simple life. So you may see more simple pieces like in their homes, or when you go to visit Amish country, that might, you know, be what you see, because it's almost what people have come to expect. But yeah, I mean, this goes back to a lot of the owners of our wood shops being very entrepreneurial and caring about what the consumer wants. You know, they want to keep growing their business. So yeah, they're adding on, you know, like you said, mid-century modern style furniture, which is really exciting to see. Industrial style, that rustic style, that beautiful barnwood furniture. So yeah, I mean, don't not try to shop for Amish furniture just because you think you're going to be limited in the style that you can get. It really is limitless, and it's just going to keep, you know, getting better as trends continue to evolve.
Absolutely. You will be, if you have been under the misconception number one about Amish furniture, that yeah, it's all one style, you will be amazed and pleasantly surprised. And that's not to say, if you are a fan of, you know, the country style, the, you know, the more traditional styles, and we certainly have Queen Anne furniture and such a selection of Mission and Shaker, you know, most Amish furniture stores or online businesses have those styles and do incredible things with them. So if you are a fan of those, absolutely, you've come to the right place.
I agree. And I mean, I feel like this, you know, nowadays, the trend is kind of anything goes. It's really about what you love, what makes you feel comfortable, what makes you feel like you're at home. So I mean, there are so many options to choose from when it comes to Amish furniture. Don't be afraid.
Absolutely not. And just to reference another blog, if you want to mix and match different furniture styles, check out the blog we have on that.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. All right. I mean, there you have it. Those are the five misconceptions that we often hear about Amish furniture. So to run through them really quickly again, Amish shops are not just single family businesses. You will find workers from outside the family as well as outside of the Amish community. Amish furniture, they will sometimes use nail screws or plywood in it for the longevity of the piece and its integrity. They do use electricity. And again, the main reason why is because it's going to support those power tools that they do use to help the longevity and integrity of your piece. And then the big one, that Amish furniture is more than just that primitive, traditional country style furniture, Mission and Shaker. It goes much more beyond that. So we hope that this has helped to provide some clarity and dispel some of those misconceptions. But before we say goodbye today, Beth and I are going to share with you something new that we learned while preparing for today's episode or during the show. I'm going to let you kick us off, Beth.
Okay. Well, I will say the two biggest misconceptions, the ones that I came into the Amish furniture world thinking were that they were limited to one style, and also that I was surprised by the machinery. Getting to learn about how the machinery is used and how it helps the product, that was new to me. And I can see, you know, where it has its place in the production of Amish furniture. And then the styles just blew me away. That there's so many different ones available in solid wood furniture and Amish furniture.
Yeah. I'll agree with those. And I think one of my big takeaways is from, you know, the misconceptions that we talked about today, but also just some of the other ones that I've heard, you know, they almost put the Amish on like a different level from other human beings. And it's like, the Amish are people too. So that's one of my biggest takeaways from this is, you know, they make mistakes, but they're ultimately just taking pride in their work. They love their businesses. I mean, they're not just doing it for the sake of making money. They love what they do. So I think that's a big thing to keep in mind when, you know, you start to realize that you're having a misconception about the Amish, or, you know, just kind of putting them on a pedestal. So that's it for our first episode.
Yay.
Again, I'm Milka Rivera.
And I'm Beth Rice.
If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. And hit follow or subscribe to make sure you don't miss an episode. Next time, we're going to be taking you behind the scenes of Amish wood shops. This is one that you're not going to want to miss.
Also, don't forget that we want to hear from you. What are your questions for us? What topics should we cover in our next episode? Email us at podcast@dutchcrafters.com.
We'll also try to include links to the blog post that we mentioned during the episode in the show notes. And we very much look forward to your reviews, comments, and emails. So thank you so much for listening.
Right. Good job, everyone. Fabulous.
Thank you.
I don't know if you realize, but you are a very good kind of like host.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I would like to become a moderator, I've decided.
You could be a very good one. That was fun.
Bye.